Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
It's the Bomber Brothers Podcast with Ryan and Sean Chichester.
Swung on and driven to deep left toward the line. She is gone. Aaron Judge lined one right down the line. Swung on and lined to right center field. It is a base hit. Grounding third. Scoring Kiner Falefa. And the Yankees win the ball game with two in the bottom of the ninth.
Hit in the air to left center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a grand slam. Oh, a Stantonian home run.
Talking all things Yankees baseball.
All right, well, speaking of Pittsburgh, and again, if you are enjoying this, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe, but I don't know how much there is to say about two games in Pittsburgh. I mean, the Pirates are, once again, they're bad. Brian Reynolds seems like a potential trade chip. I don't know, or Mark Reynolds, I don't know why I keep saying Brian, seems like a potential trade chip. I don't know why I'm mixing up my Reynolds right now. But anyway,
you were good the first time.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking of the home run, the home run Reynolds. But no, he gets a lot of hits. He wasn't getting a lot of hits earlier in the season, but now he is, and potentially improving his trade stock. But the Pirates might not want to get rid of him because he's got plenty of team control left.
Yeah. I mean, I remember in 2013, the Yankees had Mark Reynolds, by the way.
Yeah,
like some random home runs.
And yeah, they have been Vernon Wells, Lyle Overbay. It was the team of randoms that almost made the playoffs.
I remember in 2013, Lyle Overbay pinch hit for, I can't remember the guy's name. He hit the walk-off home run with the, I was going to say the 49ers. Wow, we are off our game today. With the Giants, San Francisco Giants, to send him to the World Series. The Yankees had picked this guy up for like one game. He stunk, and they pinch it with Lyle Overbay, and the stadium standing ovation. That's how dark things were, that we were giving 2013 Lyle Overbay a standing ovation because we were so happy to see him. Anyway, I almost forgot the question, but
there was no question. It was just me long-windedly saying that the Pirates are bad. They're probably going to be selling at the deadline, and the only thing I could possibly think of to talk about this series is that Tyone is going against his former team on Tuesday.
And you want to see him have a good start too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's had his struggles. I mean, he had that big, big blemish in his last start. He wound up settling down. So that was nice to see, but yeah, no, I want to see him take advantage of a poor offense, a poor team overall. I mean, they're 15 games below 500, and that's in a NL Central division that outside of the, I mean, you know, the Brewers have a good pitching staff and the Cardinals are solid, but you know, there's also the Reds and Cubs in that division. So yeah, 15 games under 500 in that division, you're a bad team.
Yeah, I think you looked for this to be kind of like what the last start was for Nestor, where he gave up one run in six innings. You want to get Tyone getting his confidence back. Then he's got the next start at Fenway. Hopefully he feels better about himself by then, because that obviously, if you're pitching and struggling, could be a disaster. But I would look for Tyone to get his hopefully they get him through five innings, and then their bullpen's going to be locked and loaded to go to get the first game. And then it's Seve time in on Wednesday. So Yankees, I don't think they screw around too much here. With the day off tomorrow or Monday, whenever you're listening to this, the day off is the 4th of July, Independence Day. And they had rested some guys already on Sunday. So hopefully they're ready, locked and loaded for this stretch. Here to really just I mean, the Red Sox are in second place and they're 13 and a half back. So you want to take care of these two games and then bury them over the weekend. Is that's the strategy. You don't want to leave 14 and a half up like the Red Sox were 14 and a half up in 78, but they still blew it. We want to be even up even more than that, but take care of business against a crappy team. That's the Yankees did that against the A's last week. That was huge because then you don't worry so much about losing one game to the Astros, and then they win the next two against the Indians anyway. So take care of business. The Yankees have been great at that. And away we go. So I don't know. I don't have any Independence Day themed questions for you. I was thinking of trying to think of like a thematic question, but I couldn't come up with anything. I'm not the creative type.
Well, I think we already covered it. We want to see the Yankees declare their freedom from Joey Gallo and maybe trade him.
All right.
That's all I can think of.
Yeah.
And Matt Carpenter provided the fireworks this weekend.
Yeah, there you go. I went to one game on the 4th of July once. Tanyan Sturts started for the Yankees.
Tanyan Sturts. Was that one of
five?
So that was a few of his probably 300 innings that Joe Torre had him pitch that season?
I think he started throwing with his other arm after the second inning. But yeah, it wasn't like an opener situation. He was still out there, I think, in the fourth inning or something ridiculous like that. But the Yankees wound up having a comeback win.
Tanyan Sturts, a guest on my college sports radio talk show way back when to talk about playoff hockey.
Well, that's just crossing over all different lanes there. That's awesome.
Well, yeah, he's a hockey guy. He's a big Bruins fan. But yeah, and then we somehow started talking about baseball when he was on. And then we were talking about, because it was in 2016, I guess. And we were talking about Chase Headley, who was on a tear for the Yankees. And I brought up Chase Headley's war, and he just started
I remember this.
He started yelling about how stat geeks are ruining baseball. So it was interesting.
Is it funny to you? You listen to a broadcast, and I'm not saying that Paul O'Neill is anti-stat, but he seems to be anti-stats sometimes. And he'll be like, you know, sometimes you just hit a line drive, you feel really good, and it's right at someone. You come. Well, I'm like, dude, that is your expected batting average. Yeah, this exactly. is why we're looking at launch angle. And because, you know, you don't want to not get paid because you hit into crappy luck. You want to get paid because you hit the ball really freaking hard, slightly at an elevation, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's right. Look no further than his work colleague. We talked to David Cohn about that when his book with Jack Curry came out. And we were talking about asking him when he, you know, got into deeper, like more advanced stats, because he's embraced it like more than any other former player turned broadcaster that I can even think of. And he mentioned that it started way back in his arbitration days when he was in negotiations and felt like he had a better year than he did. And his agent started bringing up some other stats to show that he had run into some bad luck the year before. And so, yeah, exactly what you're saying. Like if you're Paul O'Neill and you're like, I just feel like I keep lining into bad luck. Well, wouldn't it be nice to be able to show a team your expected batting average and say, hey, next year, this could very well turn around and you could see a lot more production simply just because, you know, baseball gods are going to favor me a little. And it's going to all balance out.
There you go. And hey, Miguel Andujar probably felt that way after game one of the doubleheader to bring it back. So listen, who do you have for the belt, and which of the Bomber brothers do you think has the best 4th of July wiffle ball performance too? So two belts to predict.
I'm going to go with me.
And love the confidence, but you're probably not wrong.
I'll go with me. I've been feel like I've been swinging pretty well, even though it's been mainly with the golf club lately. But I don't know. It's a quick two game series. I'm going to say Tyone. I'll say he has a good start against his former team, and he gets the belt. What about you?
It's about time for IKF to get hot or do something, because I'm getting a little bit annoyed with him. So I'm going to tell you, IKF is going to start hitting here. It's going to go on a little bit of one of those runs.
All right. And who's going to stand out on the wiffle ball field?
Well, I mean, I got some inside knowledge that you've been battling some shoulder soreness. So I don't know if
that doesn't affect my swing. That's just throwing.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing though. Like, you know, you might get rocked a little bit here. I'm not going to take myself. I'm going to say Kyle comes up with our youngest brother, the one who doesn't podcast. I'm going to say he probably has a sneaky performance. He likes those one-handed jump swings. I don't know how he quite does it, but I'm going to pick Kyle to have a big 4th of July. It's almost his 30th birthday. It'll be his last game as a 29-year-old. So, I'm looking for him to put up some numbers.
Yeah, we won't have a Yankee game to be checking in on tomorrow on the 4th of July. We'll just be focused on the wiffle ball field. And everybody else, get used to Mondays without Yankee games. Tomorrow's the first of 4 in a row where there'll be no Yankees on Monday. But everybody enjoy the day off. Enjoy the holiday. And we will be back to talk about a big series at Fenway when we come back.
And it's right at the halfway point. It'll be 82 games into the season. So exactly at the halfway point, our next conversation, and getting ready to start right where we started the first time. Big series with the Red Sox. So let's go Yanks, everybody.